Seated. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to our Old Testament reading, Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake to Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Pedaiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashum and Hashbadanah and Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua and Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of fig trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one, upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, He read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have to put ourselves in the history, right? We have to violate the chapter breaks because chapter breaks are not inspired. And we have to remember what happened in chapter 7 and in chapter 6. In those two chapters, we'll remember that the wall of the city and the gates were completed. The city was now safe in that it was a walled city with the walls being now sealed up. All of the breaches were sealed up. The gates were now set upon their hinges. They had the locks on the inside, the bars for the gates. All of it is done. And we saw last week that their first order of business was to conduct their worship. And they offered sacrifices because why were the gates and bars and fences and walls there? Why were they there? To protect that nugget in the middle of the city, right? That little nugget, that little building with, you know, in relationship to the rest of the city, that one building in the midst of the city, that rebuilt temple of the Lord that was built during the days of Joshua, during the days of Zerubbabel, during the days of Ezra, during the days of Nehemiah. It is now finished, put into order, put into practice. The Levites have been called out as those particular men who worshiped and served in that temple, the sons of Aaron, and those that could not be included, those who had to be excluded because of no genealogy. Everything has been set up. It is all ready. And so we are then to the point where after they have offered sacrifice, now it is time for something else. It is time for them to do that which has always, always been for the people of God. It's always been for us, that is, the reading and hearing and explanation of the Scriptures. Ever since God inscripturated his word, he made it to be read, beloved. He made it to be read publicly before the people of God, and he made it to be read and explained. This is what Moses did when at the base of Sinai in Exodus chapter 23, when the word of God was first inscripturated under Moses. When he wrote those 10 commandments, God wrote them with his finger, and then the rest of chapter 20, chapters 21, 22, and 23, Moses wrote down what was called the Book of the Covenant, and he read that in the hearing of all of the people at the base of Sinai. Ever since the Bible has been inscripturated, it is inscripturated to be preserved and read. And what did they read that day? What did they say that they read? What does Nehemiah report? That they read in the book of the law of Moses. Anybody remember off the top of your head how many years it's been since Moses wrote those very words that they read on that day? Anybody know? About 1150 to 1200 years. Over a millennia. Over one millennia. The Lord preserved that word to be read and to be explained before his people. And this is obviously according to his promise. His promise in Isaiah 59:21, where he'll say, that word which has gone forth out of my mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed from henceforth and forever. And the Lord puts the punctuation point on that by saying, this is my covenant with them. Beloved, this word belongs to us as God's people, and it is to be read in our hearing, and it is to be explained. There was a day in the life of the church in what we would call the Middle Ages today, and even in some places as it persists to this day, where the Word of God is not read, or if it is, it's read in a language the people don't understand, or if it is read in a language they can understand, it's never explained, it's never unpacked, its implications and its applications are never drawn out, and so the people of God live on and leave that place just as ignorantly as they went in, without the knowledge of God, without the knowledge of his Son, without the knowledge of what it means to be saved from the wrath to come, without the knowledge of how they ought to live in this world, without, as our catechism teaches us, the knowledge of what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. It is small wonder that the head of the earthly establishment called the Roman Catholic Church has in recent years said that Muslims can go to heaven. Of course they can in their economy. It never required understanding and faith. It only required getting that thing in your mouth or that water on your skin. That's all that ever mattered there. Understanding and faith and the mind never figured into it there. But notice how it figures in here. What did they do? Well, they gathered all of the people into the street. This was a public reading. And they called upon Ezra the scribe. Well, we know that he was more than just a scribe, but isn't it appropriate that Ezra, the scribe, the one who was involved in keeping the word of God for the people of God, isn't it appropriate that he should stand upon a tower of wood, Migdol, a tower of wood, that they built specifically for that purpose, to elevate him among the people so that everyone could hear? Ezra didn't read off in a corner somewhere. Ezra read before all of the people from an elevated position to make the word plain. Not Ezra. Spotlights and curtains and all of that. It was an elevated position so they could hear the word of God. And they read from the book of Moses, from the book of the law of Moses. We would think that they read quite a little bit. They read, in fact, in such a way that the people stood and they wept when they heard the law. Why did they weep? Well, they may have wept for a few reasons. Number one, here they are gathered again before their God, hearing his word that they hadn't heard. They are recently returned from being captives. They might have thought that their eyes would never see Jerusalem again. And now here they are returned. It was precious to them. Well, we might ask ourselves, how precious? How precious is it to us? They didn't have Bibles in their homes. They didn't have copies of the Scripture. And so, hearing the words of God, they wept for the pure emotion of it. But it's not enough, beloved. We can weep for the pure emotion of it. It's not necessarily wrong, but it's certainly not adequate. The other thing they wept for is they heard in the book of the law of Moses, they heard about their sins. They heard about why they went into captivity. Perhaps Deuteronomy 32 was read to them. Perhaps we know for certain Leviticus 23 was read and how they should gather unto the Lord. We'll see that in a moment. But certainly, it would have been appropriate to read Deuteronomy chapter 32 to them, where the Lord details out what will happen to them if they apostatize from him, how they will be carried captive for their sins, and how, if they call upon the Lord, he will bring them home. Maybe they wept because of the sins that they had committed. I'm inclined to think so because of the next chapter. And so, what happened then after Ezra read in the book? Well, then the Levites went out into the crowds. And they developed themselves into, it seems to be implied in the passage, into smaller private conversations. So those Levites could teach and expand and expound what they had just heard. And so what does it say? They read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And then they had to counsel them to do something. Because this day is holy unto the Lord, it was a Sabbath day, because this day is holy, don't weep. They had to counsel them to stop weeping because everything had come crashing down upon them. Their return from captivity, for their sins, the goodness of God in drawing them again to himself, the forgiveness of sins, the indictment that the law brings. All of those things came crashing down upon them, such that they needed to be counseled, don't weep. Eat the fat, drink the sweet. The joy of the Lord is your strength. They're told to rejoice instead. This is God's favor upon you. Sadly, there may have been some present that day, I don't know. But we have indeed noted the temptation in our own selves, haven't we, to want the rejoicing without the weeping, to want the benefit without the contrition, to want forgiveness without confession. No, beloved, this is not God's way. We're reminded in this portion of Scripture exactly what the pattern is. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, is how the psalmist puts it. So, beloved, they were counseled not to weep. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all of the people and said, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Well, we pray for our own hearts that we would have such great mirth for hearing the word of the Lord and having it drawn out for us, because, beloved, we are left in darkness and ignorance without that word, aren't we? We used to call the Middle Age, we don't do it anymore, because, well, I think the scholarship is raised up, and I think it's probably good that we left that behind. We used to call that, however, the Dark Ages. And why did we call it the Dark Ages? We called it the Dark Ages because the light of the glorious gospel of Christ was obscured. It was a churchly name, not a name that, like, all intellectual progress had stopped, because it hadn't. But it was dark because the knowledge of God had been darkened in those days. And we praise the Lord for the light that he has brought and for the joy, that we might know the true and living God, that we might hear his word, that we might have it drawn out for us by competent teachers, such that we might rejoice with great mirth, that we might profit because we have understood the words that were declared. Well, the second day, all of the leaders came in. They had a leadership conference. All of the leaders of the people came in. That's in verse 13. The chief of the fathers, all of the people, the priests, the Levites, Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. The leadership needs specially to understand so that they might go their way and lead according to God's word. And what did they find? They found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Well, they had a feast of the seventh month. But remember that they were fasting in the days that they were in captivity. But now here they come home and being ignorant of the law of God, not having it there in those days, having only the words of the prophets and perhaps a copy or two. Now, notice they have come home and they're set at liberty to worship God according to his commands. And they're to dwell in booths. What an interesting thing. What are the booths for? Why did the Lord give that to them in Leviticus 23? He gave it to them so that they would remember when they came out of Egypt that they dwelt in tents. Remember that? So that they might remember that they dwelt in tents and that the Lord cared for them during the wilderness wandering. He fed them with manna from heaven. He gave them water out of the rock. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. Right? They had everything that they needed as far as sustenance is concerned. And they had tents to dwell in, and so you're going to dwell in booths. So this is the particular ceremony that is next on the calendar. It's the seventh month, the first day of the month. That was a solemn day. Numbers chapter 29 tells us about it, a day of blowing of trumpets. The next thing in the seventh month is the 15th day of the month. They're to dwell in booths for 7 days. And then on the eighth day, they're supposed to have a holy convocation, a Sabbath day, a worship day. Interesting, isn't it? They've just come from their booths in Babylon, haven't they? They've just come from wandering, not in the wilderness with Moses, but across that long trek from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And the Lord would have them, even though now they are dwelling in their homes, the Lord would have them not to forget that they sojourned not only in Egypt, but in that wilderness, and no doubt in the tents that they stayed in on their way back from Babylon, that they might remain humble and dedicated to the hearing of God's word. And so the next thing on the calendar is the Feast of Booths. And it says that they only had a couple of days to prepare, but they went up into the mountains and the hills in and around Jerusalem, and they gathered up all the sticks that they need, that they needed, branches and so on, and palm leaves, and they made their booths, and they stayed in them for 7 days. Their houses just down the street, here they are in booths in the middle of the street, remembering with humility how God led them and fed them and cared for them, and how he has now led them and fed them and cared for them and brought them home. Certainly, we might say with some others of the prophets that there was not a Feast of Booths like that before or later. Since the days of Joshua, they had neglected that ceremony. Now, having come home from their captivity, they stay in tents, reminding themselves of themselves, who they are, and who they need. They need his word, and they need to have it explained. So then, they did that with joy and gladness, offered all of the offerings that were founded upon that passage in Leviticus chapter 23 toward the end. I think it's 31 through 38 or so. And then also, day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And so 7 more days of feasting on God's word. And then finally, the day after, a holy convocation, a solemn assembly, according to the manner, we might say according to the commandment. Worshiping God according to his commandments, this is something that the people of God have always been about. Right? Well, that ends the reading then of Nehemiah.